For the last 5 centuries, the Western capitalist system has been subjecting most of the world's people to a permanent crisis of endless war, massive poverty, environmental degradation, and economic instability.
Capitalism has been built through slavery, imperialism, colonialism, and neocolonialism. More than 1 billion people have been killed by capitalism, making it the greatest crime committed against humanity.
Lately, this crisis has moved into the centers of capitalist power, North America and Europe. This documentary is about the destructive record of capitalism and the current disasters it has fomented.
You're listening to Capitalism is the Crisis, a 4-part radio documentary series. I'm Asad Ismi.
I'm Kristen Schwartz. This is Capitalism is Environmental Destruction, the 3rd episode in our series. For the next half hour, we show through the examples of Canada and Bangladesh how capitalism is devastating the global environment. Capitalism has not only killed and impoverished hundreds of millions of the world's people, but also destroyed its environment on a massive scale, thereby degrading the support systems that make human life possible. From the burning down of the Amazon rainforest in South America to making the Niger Delta in Nigeria a leading source of carbon dioxide, Western corporations and governments have stopped at nothing to hasten the demise of the human race. Rising carbon dioxide emissions cause global warming, which has become the leading threat to human survival environmentally. These emissions have been created mainly by Western corporate industrial activity, with the United States, Canada, and Australia being the top 3 carbon dioxide generators per person in the world.
Such emissions have caused global temperatures to increase by 1.5 centigrade in the last 50 years, the fastest rate ever. This global warming is leading to record heat, droughts, rain, storms, fires, and deforestation all over the world, along with an alarming rise in sea levels, all of which endangers human existence. Half of the world is suffering from drought, and there are significant water and food shortages globally due to climate change. The effects of global warming are not something that humans can gradually adapt to or take steps to prevent. These effects may already be irreversible and bringing unavoidable and imminent disaster.
According to a Pentagon report, global warming might bring an end to life on Earth as we know it within only 10 years. The alarming report makes clear that a dire, abrupt climate scenario is already unfolding, which will create a terrorized form of existence. Britain could descend into a prolonged Siberian winter, and European cities could be swallowed up by rising seas. Even if carbon dioxide emissions are ended immediately, there is a high chance of the Earth seeing a 4 to 6 centigrade temperature rise, which will be catastrophic for human survival.
Currently, the most significant looming environmental disaster is the tar sands oil project in Canada's Alberta province, operated by 20 corporations, including Exxon, Shell, British Petroleum, and Suncor. The tar sands contain twice the carbon dioxide that has been released into the Earth's atmosphere so far. The tar sands have been called the most destructive industrial project on the face of the planet and the biggest environmental crime on the planet. The project is set to become the single largest contributor in North America to global warming and the cause of the second fastest rate of deforestation worldwide.
Canada holds the 3rd largest reserves of oil in the world and is the leading exporter of oil to the United States. The tar sands are the largest single source of U.S. crude oil imports. The tar sands process extracts oil from a mixture of sand, clay, water, and bitumen, which is thick crude oil. The process releases 3 times more carbon dioxide emissions than regular oil production. This process has also produced 6 billion barrels of toxic mining waste, covering 170 square kilometers of forest. The tar sands are having devastating effects on the environment and native communities located nearby. They are destroying the ancient boreal forest, spreading open pit mining across native areas, and contaminating the indigenous people's food and water with toxins.
Native nations have reported increased incidence of lung and heart disease and a terrifyingly high rate of cancer due to leaks of toxic waste into waterways from tar sands tailings or waste ponds. Lionel Lepini is a prominent native anti-tar sands activist. He belongs to the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation and lives in Fort Chipewyan, which is located 100 kilometers away from the tar sands.
The tar sand industry is the biggest disease that Mother Earth has right now. And we are, you know, living downstream from probably the most destructive project on the planet. No one has a tar sand industry. And to me, that's Canada's way of killing us. It's a slow form of assassination in my belief. And the way these people treat us is like they're treating us like as if we're a bunch of babies, which we're not. You know, and they figure that they could walk over us, but they can't. You know, but right now they destroyed, you know, something like 100 plus acres of square kilometer of land of Mother Earth, you know, for the profit of oil, you know, for the profit of other people. In the meantime, we're dying, so they're profiting off our death. You know, and it's cultural genocide. You know, we're losing our way of life. Our way of life is slowly disappearing in front of our eyes. So it's cultural genocide, obviously. You know, and it's, like I said, this slow form of assassination. If they want to kill us, they might as well come into Fort Chipewyan with a gun and shoot us all in the head. You know, why make us suffer any longer? Because we've been suffering long enough. You know, our people have been suffering for the last 500 years, ever since Columbus stepped foot on his land. You know, we've been suffering ever since. And in the last 40 years, the people of my community in that region have been suffering even tenfold because of the development. So we have to adapt from living our traditional way of life into this new way of life, suddenly fast and furious, and we had no other choice. We're thrown into residential schools. So Canada, I think their form of assassination and attempted murder on us, you know, started a long time ago, you know, like with the Indian Wars, you know, but we lived. And then they tried again with the smallpox, and we survived again. They came back with the blankets, got us all sick. We still lived. They threw us all in residential school, tried to make us all white, tried to colonize us, and we all survived. So now, what better way to kill us than to poison our Mother Earth?
The land has been so destroyed by the tar sands that this can be seen from outer space. The area looks like a moonscape from the air, as if it has been heavily bombed. Massive amounts of toxic waste created by the tar sands also endanger water sources that the First Nation uses.
They strip mine it, you know, by use of the largest shovels in the world and the largest trucks in the world, you know, and they mine out the top overburden, you know, which is the trees and the grass, just to get to the tar sand, which is located normally about 100 to 200 meters below the surface. And they mine all that out, and what's left over, they put into what they call these tailings ponds. And these tailings ponds are kilometers in diameter. You know, they're visible from space. You can see them from with the naked eye from space. You know, and these things are full of toxic, every known toxic sludge known to mankind, you know, is located within these toxic tailings ponds. And if any one of these tailings ponds ever breached, you know, it's all going to go right into the Athabasca River. And anything that goes into the Athabasca River will ultimately end up in our system because we drink the water.
The tar sands use up so much water that they are in danger of drying up the Athabasca River, the main water source for the native community.
It's just a matter of time before what's known as the Peace Athabasca Delta is going to be gone. You know, it's going to be the Athabasca River is one of the biggest rivers in Alberta. I foresee it being renamed the Athabasca Creek because of the amount of water that they take. You know, like these people, they take 4 barrels of water to produce 1 barrel of oil. So they produce roughly about 1 million barrels of oil a day, all companies combined. If you do the math, that's 4 million barrels of water coming out of our river each day, 365 days a year. You know, and they say that there's no impact on the environment. They're lying. You know, that's the propaganda that you're getting here, is that there's no impact to Aboriginal rights, there's no impact to Aboriginal people, there's no impact to human life, when in fact, we're dying.
Tar sands development is spreading cancer in the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation.
The main form of death caused by industry is cancer. The cancers that they're finding are so rare that I can't even pronounce what they are. There's some bile duct cancers, but there is one cancer in particular which had the ratio. It's supposed to happen in a population of 100,000 people, one in 100,000 people. Our community consists of 1,200 people, maybe even 1,500. And we had about 3 cases within 2 years of this really rare form of cancer. And it couldn't be explained by the government. Doctors couldn't explain it. So one doctor, he exposed the truth. He said that it came from the water, you know, it was from, because these people were living a traditional life, and that's what got them sick.
Tar sands development is also poisoning the fish and the animals in the area, on whom the Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation depends for food.
See, like today, people still practice our traditional rights to hunt, fish, and trap. You know, 40 years ago, you know, it was so flush with animals, it was so flush with wildlife and plants and medicines, we had no worry whatsoever. We were able to go out to the lake with nothing but an empty cup, you know, and take a drink of the water without hesitation. Today, you have to bring your own water out in the land. You know, when people go out in the land, if you kill a moose, you know, you have to really know where this moose came from. If you catch fish, you have to know where you're catching your fish from, because if you catch the fish in the wrong spot, the chances of you getting sick are pretty high. And right now, the fish are showing us signs. They're coming out deformed. The moose are coming out. Some of them have cysts on them. So the animals are talking to us. They're telling us that something was going on. The caribou that used to hang around there, they no longer exist there anymore. At one time, they're on a species at risk act. They're a species at risk, and now they're extinct. You know, and that's a woodland caribou. So it's just a matter of time before we, as Aboriginal indigenous people, will be extinct as well as the animals. So I think that we should be on that species at risk act as well, too.
According to Lepini, the companies in the tar sands project have an official license to pollute.
You know, the animals, the plants, the air, everything's going to be affected, you know, because these companies are actually licensed. They're allowed to discharge what they call raw sewage water back into the river. They're allowed to pollute. They got the license to pollute. If I was to dump 5 gallons of gas into the water, you know, I'd be fined. You know, but these companies, they do that on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis. You know, so the companies, the country, the province are so corrupt, you know, they allow all this to happen, continue until we're all dead. You know, so people like myself and others, you know, we want the whole world to know that Canada is not what it appears to be. Alberta, of all the provinces, is probably the worst one of them all. Because right now, all they're doing is creating nothing but havoc. You know, they create nothing but destruction. They create nothing but anxiety in our community.
The federal government of Stephen Harper and the Conservative Party has turned Canada into a corrupt petrostate on par with Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East. Such states are marked by shameful subservience to U.S. imperialism and to Western oil companies, as well as overdependence on oil exports to Washington. In Canada's case, these factors are accompanied by the criminal destruction of the global environment on an enormous scale.
The biggest threat to Canada are the people who run this country, the people who we elected. You know, the elected officials, all the MPs, everybody, that's the biggest threat to this nation right now, to this country, this so-called country of Canada.
Like Lionel Lepini, Clayton Thomas Muller is a prominent native anti-tar sands activist. He belongs to the Matis Kolom Cree Nation, located in Canada's Manitoba province, and is the Tar Sands campaign director for the Indigenous Environmental Network. According to Thomas Muller, the tar sands not only promote corporate criminality, but also violate international law and Canadian law, both of which formally protect native rights.
The tar sands is the last frontier. It's the Wild West of oil, a private oil patch. You know, it's the last place for big multinational oil companies to go hang out. It's their saloon. You know, it's the global saloon for greenhouse gangsters and climate outlaws. And the battle over tar sands comes down to the fundamental right to exist as Indigenous peoples, which has been enshrined internationally by the implementation and the ratification of the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. Okay, this is international law. And we have, here in Canada, constitutionally enshrined and protected Aboriginal and treaty rights, which our government is continuing to violate every single day. The Canadian legal regulatory framework is toothless. You know, environmental policy in this country, gutless.
The tar sands are also a new way of colonizing Canada's native population.
You know, we tend to view what's happening with energy policy as Indigenous peoples as a form of neocolonization. I mean, you framed it as a second wave of capitalism or capitalism rebirthing itself. What I commonly, you know, tell people as a metaphor is that, you know, 400 years ago we had Jesuit priests come into our communities and promise us a better way of life, you know, and a solution to all the problems we faced as a result of the violence of colonization and the disease and everything that our spiritual healers could not fix. And, you know, what they said was, is by changing the way we communicated with our Creator and embracing Christianity, that things would be all right. And at that time, the church and the state were like this. Okay, they had a business plan. Okay, they were out to make money, get land. Okay, make no mistake about it. The church is right in on it. You know, I think today, you know, the new religion, of course, is capitalism. And instead of Jesuit priests in black robes, we have corporate CEOs in black suits coming into our communities, promising a solution to the socioeconomic crisis that First Nations are facing by changing the way we communicate with the sacredness of Mother Earth through embracing industrialization. And, you know, today I would argue that, you know, again, you know, the new religion is capitalism, and instead of church and state, it's oil and state. So we need a separation of oil and state, you know, to fight this new wave of colonization, which is essentially energy colonization.
মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একটি মুখের হাসির জন্য অস্ত্র ধরি, মোরা একটি মুখের হাসির জন্য অস্ত্র ধরি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি। যে মাটির চির মমতায় আমার অঙ্গে মাখা, যে মাটির চির মমতায় আমার অঙ্গে মাখা, যার নদী জল ফুলে ফলে মোর স্বপ্ন আঁকা, যে মাটির চির মমতায় আমার অঙ্গে মাখা, যে দেশের নীলম্বরে মন মেলছে পাখা, সারাটি জনম সে মাটির দানে বক্ষ ভরি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি। মোরা নতুন একটি কবিতা লিখতে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা নতুন একটি গানের জন্য যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একখানা ভালো ছবির জন্য যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা সারা বিশ্বের শান্তি বাঁচাতে আজকে লড়ি, নতুন একটি কবিতা লিখতে যুদ্ধ করি, নতুন একটি গানের জন্য যুদ্ধ করি, যে নারীর মধু প্রেমেতে আমার রক্ত দোলে, যে নারীর মধু প্রেমেতে আমার রক্ত দোলে, যে শিশুর মায়া হাসিতে আমার বিশ্ব ভোলে, যে নারীর মধু প্রেমেতে আমার রক্ত দোলে, যে গৃহ কপতে সুখ স্বর্গের দুয়ার খুলে, সেই শান্তির শিবির বাঁচাতে শপথ করি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একটি মুখের হাসির জন্য অস্ত্র ধরি, মোরা একটি মুখের হাসির জন্য অস্ত্র ধরি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি, মোরা একটি ফুলকে বাঁচাবো বলে যুদ্ধ করি।
The largest national populations endangered by global warming produced by the tar sands are in the poor countries of the global south. While rich Western nations such as Canada and the United States are headed towards boiling the world alive to serve the insanely greedy lifestyles of their wealthier citizens, the people of the poorest countries are suffering the disastrous consequences of global warming, such as droughts, floods, and rising sea levels. One country which is literally sinking due to rapidly increasing sea levels is Bangladesh, one of the poorest countries in the world. With 160 million people packed into an area half the size of the U.S. state of Iowa, Bangladesh is one of the most densely populated countries in the world.
The nation is known as the ground zero of climate change, and considered the most vulnerable to extreme weather. Even without global warming, 20% of Bangladesh is flooded yearly due to its location in the center of Asia's biggest river delta. The three largest rivers in the world flow through Bangladesh. Add to this rising sea levels caused by global warming, and the Bangladeshi people are in grave danger. With a 2 centigrade rise in temperature, half the country's area will be flooded, and up to 50 million people are projected to be displaced.
Mainly due to global warming, extreme floods now occur in Bangladesh every 5 years instead of every 20. Since 2002, the country has been subjected to 251 extreme weather events, and 142,000 people have died due to cyclones. Afsan Chaudhary is a Bangladeshi journalist and activist. He is the director of the video documentary Climate Change, Does Anybody Care If Bangladesh Drowns? Here in a speech, he discusses the incredible scale of the catastrophe facing Bangladesh and the responsibility of the Western economic system for climate change.
The impact of climate change for about 1 billion people is that I'm losing my home, I'm losing my livelihood, I'm losing my health, I'm losing my life, I'm losing my family, I'm losing my land. I would say, if 75 million people of the total 140 in Bangladesh dies and still survives climate change impact, I would be very happy. You'll recognize. How many, what is the population of Canada? Yeah. Double the number of population of Canada dying and Bangladesh surviving, that would be fantastic. In the East, where I come from, we know climate change is about life and death. It is completely different perspective. And that perspective is not there in the West. So because it is not there in the West, nothing really is getting done. And if you look at the behavior of the governments, you will see we have gone through 3 major global conferences on carbon consumption reduction. None of them have been kept. Since economies exist on a particular systems, the systems encourage carbon consumption. And I don't think the Western world can operate without the existing system.
The capitalist way of living and the luxurious lifestyle of the West, especially the United States, is commonly blamed by Bangladeshis for the disaster facing their country due to global warming. Carbon dioxide emissions in the United States are 19.18 tons per person, while those in Bangladesh are a minuscule 0.3 tons. Naushad Ali Hussain is a Bangladeshi journalist currently based in Toronto. According to him, capitalism is destroying the environment.
The way capitalism views progress, the more you spend, the healthier your economy is. Tomorrow, if Americans were to suddenly start to consume much less, that is, if they were to start living simpler lives, if they were to stop buying cars, and jewelry, the economy would suffer. It would crash. You'd have another bubble burst like we did in 2008. But from an environmental perspective, that's exactly what we need. We need people to consume less. We need people to live simpler lives. We need people to do away with huge, big cars and to move from suburbs into more efficient downtown cores. And I think that this one thing that the West can do is the most efficient but also the most ambitious thing, is that the West has to teach itself how to live simply. And this is in a society where people generally feel very entitled to the luxuries that they have. I think simple living has to be a virtue in this culture. And that's the point where we have to reach.
The saying that you should live simply so others may simply live.
Right. Gandhi, I'm not a big fan of Gandhi, but Gandhi said a very, very interesting thing. He said that the world has more than enough for everybody to live, but not for everybody's greed. I think every day on TV, every day on radio, on the billboards, all around us, greed is promoted.
Western states have given little money to Bangladesh to mitigate the effects of global warming. So the government of Bangladesh, along with those of 33 other countries, is attempting to take the question of who is responsible for climate change to the International Court of Justice. Not surprisingly, the United States has adamantly opposed this move. As Abdul Momen, Bangladesh's ambassador to the United Nations, explained in September 2012, quote, "In Bangladesh, we are the most affected victims of climate change. And it happened not because of us, because our contribution to global warming is minimum. And once it's created, we are suffering. Large part of our land already has gone underwater," unquote.
You have been listening to Capitalism is Environmental Destruction, the third episode of the radio documentary series, Capitalism is the Crisis.
Capitalism is the Crisis is dedicated to the memory of Ho Chi Minh.
This documentary was written by Asad Ismi and produced by Kristen Schwartz. It was written in 2012 and produced in 2013. Go to www.asadismi.ws to download the series.
Theme music at the start of each episode is The Clash, London Calling, and at the end is Pink Floyd, Comfortably Numb. This episode also featured the song More Ekti Phul Ke Bachabo Bole Juddho Kori, sung by Apel Mahmood. The title means ours was a battle to save a flower. Flower here symbolizes the natural beauty of Bangladesh. The song is about the 1971 war when Bangladeshis fought successfully against the genocidal Pakistan army for their independence.
Thanks to Omar Farooq and to Kevin Shaw for production assistance.
This documentary was funded by Canadian Union of Postal Workers National,
CUPW Local 576 North Bay,
Public Service Alliance of Canada,
Ontario Secondary School Teachers Federation,
Canadian Union of Public Employees Local 3903,
Ed Finn,
Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association.
Thank you for listening.